And we do become anxious in life. We become anxious for our bodily needs. We become anxious over the bills that come into our home. And dear congregation, you know well the things in life that can cause us distress, the daily activities, the business that we are engaged in. And all of these things can build up and cause a pressure upon us that can take our minds off our Savior. Those who serve mammon and those who serve wealth are noted as those who are concerned about temporal things.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Today, I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we let the Bible speak. We're turning today in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 6, and this passage is part of the Sermon on the Mount preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 31, the Savior says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Lord Jesus Christ here sets forth what is the glorious relationship with the Father. This glorious relationship that belongs to the people of God. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. May the Lord bless his word to your soul today.
We can think of ourselves as children. We had a need of instruction. We had a need of being put right. A true father is one who disciplines out of love. A true father is one who seeks to help and instruct, to make sure that the right decisions are made. And oh, our heavenly Father is one who does these things. The Father gives us the spirit of adoption as well. What is adoption? The Shorter Catechism says that adoption is an act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. We were children of wrath. We were children of the devil. But through our salvation, we have been adopted into the family of God. He is our Father by adoption. We who were, as it were, orphaned, we who were out in the world without any hope or refuge or safety or security or salvation, the Lord has come, and through the work of Christ, we've been adopted into the family of God. We have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God, and that right to speak of our Father, which art in heaven. Behold, John said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What manner of love that we should be called the sons of God. How marvelous that is. Think of our sin, your rebellion against God. but yet through his grace you've been adopted into his family. And the Father's care is rooted in union with Christ. It's a gospel-related, a gospel-centered relationship. Our union with our Father, our bond with our Heavenly Father is all because of Christ and his work of salvation and his work of adoption. We are not naturally the children of God, but we are made sons and daughters through the work of Christ. It is Christ who broke down the middle wall of partition. It is Christ who redeemed us. It is Christ who saved us. And through the work of Christ, the Father promises eternal inheritance to his children as well. What an inheritance that is. A blessed inheritance. And if children, Paul said, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ because of our adoption. And through that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to have a Heavenly Father. He's our Father because he created us. He's our Father because he's elected us. He's our Father because he has sanctified us. He is our Father because he sent his Son into the world to redeem us. And dear believer, tonight, in our anxieties and in our worries, in your troubles, remind yourself of this. There is a Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you, who sent his Son into this world to redeem your soul. What a relationship that is. But secondly, it is a relationship that understands our difficulties. It is a relationship that understands our difficulties. Our Heavenly Father knows that we have needs. And the Savior speaks these words to strengthen our faith and to assure us that when difficulties come our way, we ought not to be anxious. And this truth rests in the omniscience of God, his infinite knowledge. He knows all things. And the Savior indicates that in verse 32. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Your Heavenly Father knows. God knows, Christ is saying. He knows you've need of all of these things. And this is one of the great attributes or perfections of our God. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Proverbs 15, verse 3. Great is our Lord. Or Proverbs 15, verse 3. We'll turn to that for a moment. And see what the scripture says here. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. God sees all things, and he has a knowledge of his creation. He has a knowledge of his creation. The apostle said, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. There is a reminder then through the words of Christ here and through other places in Scripture that God knows us. He knows our cares. He knows our sorrows. He knows our frame. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He has a tender heart toward his children in their difficulties and in their sufferings. He sent his Son into this world who shared our sufferings. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, Hebrews 4, verse 15, but was in all points tempted, like as we are without sin. Hebrews 2, 18 says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them, to provide aid for them that are tempted. And the Savior was sent into this world, he shared in our sufferings. He knows our sufferings. Our Heavenly Father knows our trials. He knows our cares. Oh, how often we can think nobody cares. Nobody cares. The hymn writer said, does Jesus care? And how true it is that he does. He cares. I know he cares. The hymn says. I remember when I was at college that we had come across that hymn. We had sang it on a few occasions. And one of the students changed it to deal with Greek. Does Jesus care when I'm doing Greek and second declension nouns? I'm not going to explain what second declension nouns are, but it was changed to our specific circumstances. You can do that tonight. Does Jesus care when I have this situation and when I have this trial or when I have this sickness or this sorrow? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. You can encourage yourself as you come to the Word of God and come to this passage that our Father who is in heaven knows our needs. He responds to our needs. Matthew 7 verse 11, reminding ourselves of that verse we mentioned. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, he responds to our needs. He meets our needs. But God provides for our daily struggles. Verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. God provides for our daily struggles. That might be strength, that might be wisdom, that might be guidance, that might be the temporal affairs of life. God provides. Dear believer, is your eye being turned of God through the cares of this world? We can think of Peter. He stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water and he looked around and he saw the wind, he saw the waves, he saw the storm, he saw the circumstances, and his eyes went off Christ to that which was around, to the temporal circumstances, and he began to sink. What is the lesson there? It's the same as the lesson here, that we are to not be distracted by the things of this world or the concerns of this world, no matter how vital or how necessary they may be. They are not to take our eyes off the Savior. They are not to take our eyes off our Heavenly Father. We're to keep our eyes upon him. We're invited, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. O dear believer, in our trials, in our difficulties, we can look to the Lord. We can bring our burdens and cast our cares at the feet of the Savior. And why is that? Because thirdly, it is a relationship that sustains us. It is a relationship that sustains us. We may lack many things in this world, but we have good ground upon which to have no anxiety. The Lord cares for his creatures. We think of those words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we can encourage our hearts looking at what God has already done and his power and his sustaining power. But we're reminded that in this relationship and through our Father, his love is everlasting and his love is unchangeable. When we think of relationships in this world and we think of fathers and their families, there are many circumstances that are sad and sorrowful. There are many divorces. There are many times where the father has left and his family has been abandoned. Maybe the mother and maybe the children have no idea where their father went. Just one day he left and he never returned. He went to do his own thing in life and left his family behind. But when we consider the spiritual family that we have and this bond with our Heavenly Father, his love is everlasting. His love is unchangeable. He is not a father who will leave us nor forsake us. He is not a father who will kick us out of the house. He is a father whose love is unchangeable. The book of Jeremiah tells us, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. John again, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We can think of the great love of Christ. The love of God to us is everlasting. It's unchangeable. But we are the sons of God because of the great love of God in sending forth Christ into this world. There's this great bond because of our Savior and his finished work. And it is through Christ that we are drawn closer to God. It is through Christ that we have this relationship with God. It is through Christ that we benefit from this everlasting and this unchangeable love. And how marvelous that is. That love sustains us. That grace is given to us. The Father hears our prayers. He helps our weaknesses. He will give us that preservation. He will bring us into His glory. He will bring us to our eternal home. And therefore, dear believer, when we consider that our Father sustains us, remind yourself that when you're weak, He sustains. When you're tempted, He strengthens. When you're anxious, He comforts. When you're wounded, He heals. When you are lonely, He is there. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. And it is possible through the Savior. We are sustained by God through Christ. Why? Well, there's this great problem. Because we are not God's children by nature. We are the children of wrath. We are alienated from God without Christ, being aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise. Ephesians 2, verse 12. That word alien, in the modern day, we know what it means or the fiction it refers to. But in the Word of God, that term alien, it means a stranger. It means a foreigner. Ye were without Christ. You were foreigners, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You're of your father, the devil, the Savior said in John 8. We are not the children of God by nature. And we are sustained by our Father as a result of the great work of Christ for us. It is Christ who brings us to the Father. And the heart of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to make us sons of God. He came to redeem us. The Father turned His face away as the Son suffered upon the cross. He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And He was forsaken, dear believer, in your place. And that great result then is salvation, adoption, the great security that comes from that. The gospel does not merely bring us into the family of God. The gospel does not merely bring us into the family of God, but it keeps us within that family because our salvation is secure. It is built upon that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question tonight then is very simple. Are you looking to Christ to sustain you? Are you looking to the Father in heaven to sustain you and to help you in life? But above all of that, is He your Father? Is He your Savior? Is He your Redeemer? Can you rest assured there is that sustaining because you've turned from sin, you've trusted in Christ? Finally, I want you to notice that it is a relationship that demands our attention. A relationship that demands our attention. There are encouraging verses here. There are verses that remind us of the importance of our relationship with God and the importance of what we think of God and what we think of the Savior and what we think of the Spirit of God. And we are reminded then that our attention is to be fixed upon God. This passage tells us we're not to be anxious and worry. We're not to take our attention of God and to place it upon the worries of life. The attention is to be fixed upon the God of heaven. And we're reminded here in Matthew 6 that the Father's kingdom must be our treasure. That is where our attention is to be. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we're reminded we're not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth, things that will corrupt. And the Savior says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. There are many in this world, and you go into their home. In fact, you just need to sit behind them in a car, in traffic, to maybe know something of who they are and what they like, and maybe some of the obsessions within their life. But if you walk into their home, you can see their obsessions. I've seen videos, and I maybe mentioned this on Children's Day, videos where someone takes you down into their basement and there are shelves and shelves and shelves and thousands of dollars of Lego models. It's their obsession. It's what they spend their money on. Maybe it's a sports team. Maybe it's just entertainment and you go into the basement and it's like walking into the cinema and they have their big soft seats that recline and they have their big television screen and they have their sound system. And there they entertain themselves day after day after day. It's an idol. It's an obsession. There are many little things in life that we can see as our treasure, something that means a lot to us. It may be a car. It may be a piece of jewelry. It might be something very simple. And our attention, our obsession, our love is upon it. But yet we are reminded here in Matthew 6 that the Father's kingdom must be our treasure. That our attention should be upon the one who sustains us. And when we cling often to earthly possessions, but they do not provide security. They do not provide happiness. These things are vulnerable. Moth and rust doth corrupt. Moth and rust doth corrupt. And so, dear believer, do you have that assurance that your heart is fixed upon that treasure which will never corrupt, the treasure of Christ? Tonight, is that where your heart is? Your heart is fixed upon your heavenly Father. And it is the care of this Father that removes our anxiety. And our attention is to be upon this. Why do we have anxieties? Why do we have worries in life? We all face trials. We all face worries. But sometimes the trials and the worries come upon us, or the worries because of the trials come upon us, because we've taken our eyes off the Savior. We've taken our eyes off God. We're not relying upon Him like we used to. But His care removes our anxiety. Those around us may fail, but our God never fails. It is a blessed relationship that demands our attention and therefore it demands our trust. In these closing verses of chapter 6, the believer is reminded to trust God, to put faith in Him, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And our priority, dear believer, in life is this. With this we'll close. It's very simple. Our priority in life is not to be fixated upon the things of this world. It is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is to live for God. It is to live for the Savior. It is to seek to walk that righteous path. And the Savior says, all these things that you need will be added unto you. The Lord cares for His people. But our duty is to seek first the kingdom of God. Tonight, is that where your attention is? Maybe you've grown cold in your heart. Maybe you've grown cold regarding the things of God. Maybe worries and anxieties have crept in then because of that. Oh, cast your care upon the Savior. Look afresh to Him. Seek the Lord and ask that He would come and restore to you the joy of salvation. Restore to you that great blessing of knowing that you can rest upon Him, the one who is our Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to Mark chapter 1, verse 41. I will be thou clean. Primeval darkness heard the almighty fiat. light be, and straightway light was, and the word of the Lord Jesus is equal in majesty to that ancient word of power. Redemption, like creation, has its word of might. Jesus speaks it, and it is done. Leprosy yielded to no human remedies, but it fled at once at the Lord's I will. The disease exhibited no hopeful signs or tokens of recovery. Nature contributed nothing to its own healing, but the unaided word effected the entire work on the spot and forever. The sinner is in a plight, more miserable than the leper. Let him imitate his example and go to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Let him exercise what little faith he has, even though it should go no further than, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And there need be no doubt as to the result of the application. Jesus heals all who come and casts out none. In reading the narrative in which our morning's text occurs, it is worthy of devout notice that Jesus touched the leper. This unclean person had broken through the regulations of the ceremonial law and pressed into the house. But Jesus, so far from chiding him, broke through the law himself in order to meet him. He made an exchange with the leper, for while he cleansed him, he contracted by that touch a Levitical defilement. Even so, Jesus Christ was made sin for us, although in himself he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that poor sinners would go to Jesus, believing in the power of his blessed substitutionary work, and they would soon learn the power of his gracious touch. That hand which multiplied the loaves, which saved sinking Peter, which upholds afflicted saints, which crowns believers, that same hand will touch every seeking sinner, and in a moment make him clean. The love of Jesus is the source of salvation. He loves, he looks, he touches. We live. Thank you for listening to our program today, and we trust that the ministry of God's precious and inerrant truth has been a blessing to your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.